no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me once again. We'll hear first this week from Radio City Playhouse, their story from August 14th, 1948, titled Hit and Run. After that, it's the Matinee Theater and the Scarlet Pimpernel, their story from November 19th, 1944.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 6. Hit and Run, starring the young American actor Casey Allen. The script is written by Max Shoub and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Here is Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 6, Hit and Run.
I remember the sun was shining. I think I was driving a little faster than I should have, but it was a beautiful day, and I wasn't paying much attention. When you're a traveling salesman, all you think of on Friday afternoon is heading for home and a weekend with your wife and kid. I was just coming into town on 11B, where it's kind of hilly, road winds a lot. And then it happened. I didn't see him, honest. I didn't even see him. I was watching the road, all right. I always watch the road. I'm a good driver. I've been driving a car for years. But it was Friday. I was thinking of Ellen, young Jackie. I was tired, anxious to get home. And then he just ran right out in front of the car. Right smack in front of the car. I hit him. I saw the way I hit him. He screamed. I know he screamed, but I couldn't hear him over the brakes. I hit him hard. He couldn't have been more than 8 or 9 years old. I hit him and then saw him fly through the air. I didn't mean to do it, but I did. I didn't even see him hit the ground because I didn't stop. I was afraid. I was so afraid I couldn't stop. I got home. I don't know how, but I did. I couldn't stop shaking. I stopped the car in front of my house. But I couldn't get out. I was afraid somebody would see me and know. That somebody would look into my face and know. Then I heard it. I couldn't move. Hadn't taken them long. But I had to get away. I had a wife and child. I had to get away. I tried to start the car. I tried and tried, but it wouldn't start. Start! 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 And then it was gone, an ambulance, going right past me. I was wet and cold with fear. I wished it was dark so I could sneak into the house. Then I saw why the car wouldn't start. I'd forgotten to turn the ignition key. I'd never done that before. It was beginning. Right then I knew what it was going to be like. Little things creeping up on you, making you foolish, frightened, nervous. I opened the door of the car. And hurried into my house. Yes, it's me.
Oh, you're home early. Everything go all right?
Yes, yes.
Would you like something to eat, darling? You must be all in.
I don't want anything. I'm all right.
Well, don't bite my ears off, Al. I'm just asking.
I'm sorry, Ellen. I didn't mean to.
Dinner will be ready soon, anyway. You don't mind waiting, do you?
I'm not hungry.
But, Hal, you must be after that terrible trip.
Stop talking about my trip. Stop talking about it.
Huh?
Where's Jackie?
What?
You're deaf all of a sudden. Where's Jackie? I said, where's Jackie?
Hal, what's the matter with
you? Never mind me. Where's Jackie?
Outside.
Where outside?
Playing with his friends. Of course, we're out.
I don't want him outside. I want him in here, not on the streets.
Hal, for goodness
sake. I don't want him outside, I told you. Now get him in here. Oh, please, Ellen, call him in.
He's only been out for a while. He won't like it. I'll let him stay out for another few minutes. He'll be all right.
Okay. I'm going to lie down for a while. I don't feel well.
Hal.
What is it?
You want me to call the doctor?
I don't need a doctor.
Hal, something's wrong. You're not yourself.
I'm all right. A little tired.
But you're so pale.
Oh, I'm a little pale. Now leave me alone.
Okay, Hal.
Ellen, we got a drink in the house.
Sure.
Would you fix one for me? A double?
Al, what's wrong?
Nothing, honey, nothing. Like I told you, I'm tired, that's all.
Well, then, why don't you take off your shoes, dear, and relax? That drink's coming right up.
Relax? Relax. Oh, the bell. No. No, not now. Not in my own home. Don't take me now.
Right. Hold on, hold on.
Ellen, don't go.
What?
Don't go.
Someone's at the door.
Don't go. Let him go away.
Oh, why? What's all this mystery?
Stop asking questions, will you? Let him ring. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want anybody in here.
Well, if it's for you, I'll tell them you're not home. Is that all right?
Oh, wait a while. See if they'll go away.
Well, Lee.
All right. All right, answer it. Get through with it.
What'll I say if it's for you?
Say anything you like. I don't care what you say.
Well, shall I say you're not in?
Anything you like. If they'll believe you, say I'm not in.
All right, Hal. I'm coming. Oh, it's only you.
Hey, what's the matter with the bell, Mom? I've been ringing and ringing.
I'm sorry, Jackie, dear. I was busy for a minute.
Yeah. Well, if you give me a key, I wouldn't have to wait like that every time I want to come inside.
All right, darling. We'll get a key made for you. How's that?
You mean it, Mom?
Absolutely. I promise.
Gee, swell. Hi, Dad.
Jackie. Hello, Jackie.
Hello, Dad.
You're in early.
Yeah, I didn't feel like staying out. I'm getting hungry. Why didn't you answer the bell?
I didn't hear it.
Didn't hear it? Oh, I could hear it myself through the door. Plain as anything I could hear it.
Daddy was having a nap, Jackie. That's why he didn't hear it.
What do you want to take a nap in the middle of the day for?
He's had a long trip and he's tired. Now, you stop asking questions.
Okay. When are we going to eat? I'm hungry.
Won't be long, huh? Let you know. Now, you go upstairs and wash yourself.
Okay, Mom.
I'll get your drink, Hal.
Yeah. And then I thought of something. Perhaps I hadn't killed him. Perhaps he was still all right. Maybe he was only shaken up a bit. I was only going 50 miles an hour. 50. How strong is a little boy when he runs up against 50 miles an hour? It was 50, I know that. I remember looking down at my speedometer. And then I hit him. I could see him again, flying through the air. He didn't look dead. He was screaming.
Here's your drink, Hal.
Thanks.
Is it all right?
Oh, sure.
Hal.
Huh?
Something's wrong, Hal.
No.
Something happened.
Helen, don't badger me. Let it be.
Let me help you, dear.
It's nothing you can do.
What happened?
Why don't you leave me alone?
I want to help you.
Leave me alone. That's the only way you'll help me.
It'll do you good to talk about it, whatever
Helen,
it is.
Helen, stop it. I ask you, stop it. I don't want to talk about it.
Even to your wife?
Oh, please, Helen, please.
I'll understand, Hal. Believe me, whatever it is, I'll understand. Why didn't you want me to answer the bell? What were you afraid of, dear? I know you were afraid. Why were you so frightened when you came in and sweating?
Well,
you're sweating now and you're so pale. Why did you want Jackie in off the streets, dear? And why did you want a drink? You haven't touched one for months. Why are you afraid to tell me?
Oh.
What's wrong, Al? What's wrong?
Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry.
It's worse this way, Al. I know something's wrong. Tell me. Let me know. Let me help you. It's not as if you murdered somebody.
Why did you say that?
Well, I don't know.
Why? Why did you say that?
Al, you'll tear my dress. Let go.
Why did you say it?
Al, it's just words. I didn't mean anything.
I'm sorry, Ellen.
Something is wrong, isn't it? Al, you didn't. Why did I frighten you when I said murder? Al, you didn't. I mean, Al, look at me. Oh, no. Oh, tell me, Al, for the love of heaven, tell me, what is it?
This afternoon, coming home.
Oh, tell me, darling, tell me, I'll understand.
Oh, coming home this afternoon, I killed a boy. This afternoon, coming home, I...
What are you saying?
A little boy about the size of Jackie.
Al, this isn't a joke.
With a car. I hit him with a car. I was going too fast.
Oh, dear God.
I didn't see him. I hit him. I think he screamed. I don't know. I saw him fly through the air.
You didn't stop.
He couldn't have been more than 9 years old, maybe less.
Did you stop? How did you stop?
I was afraid. I wanted to run away. I couldn't stop.
Well, how do you know you killed him? Maybe he's all right.
I was going 50 miles an hour. Oh, where's the cigarette?
Oh, there beside you on the table.
Oh.
Al. Al, what are you going to do?
How do I know what I'm going to do? It wasn't my fault. The fool kid ran right into the car. I didn't have a chance, I tell you. It wasn't my fault. I just...
What are you going to do, dear?
I don't know. I wish I was dead.
Where did it happen?
On Glen Hill Avenue, just off 11B.
Let's go back, Al. Maybe we can still help.
I'm afraid, Ellen. I'm afraid.
But it wasn't your fault, dear.
How can I face it? How can I look at the mother and say, I'm sorry, it wasn't my fault? How can I do that?
Did anybody see you?
I don't know. I don't think so. It was right at the edge of town. Ellen, maybe they haven't found him yet. Maybe he's still lying there on the edge of the road.
Oh, Al, don't, dearest. Don't torture yourself like that.
Stay with me, Ellen. Help me.
Oh,
put yourself together, Al. Don't let him see anything's
wrong. Hey, Dad, you bring home the paper?
No, I don't think so.
You want me to run down the corner and get it for you?
Sure. Sure, if you want to.
Okay. You got some money?
Yeah. Yeah, here you are.
$5? Oh, haven't you got any pennies, Dad? You know how that old crab hates to make change for anyone.
Well, that's the smallest I've got, Jackie. You keep the change.
Huh? The change? All of it?
Sure, you keep the change.
Gee. What for? What did I do?
Oh, nothing. I want to give it to you, that's all.
Okay. Yes, sir, okay.
Suddenly, like the stab of a knife, I realized what my boy meant to me. How would I feel if... Oh, no, don't let me say it. Don't let me even think it. How would I feel if I lost him? If somebody hit him at 50 miles an hour?
Why did you do that, Hal?
Huh?
Why did you tell him to keep the change?
I don't know. What's the difference? I felt like it, that's all.
Jackie! Jackie! Hal, wait a minute. Hal, come back! What was it, dear?
Some fool going around the corner too fast.
Why did you run out?
I thought it was... Well, for a minute, I thought it might be...
Jackie?
Yes. A terrible noise. Scream of brakes. I saw it all again. I was afraid.
Go back, Al. It'll eat you up unless you do.
Maybe he's all right.
The boy?
Perhaps he's only hurt. Just a little bit.
You'll never know unless you go back.
I don't ever want to see that place again. I can.
Well, if you explain that it wasn't your fault.
I was driving too fast.
How will they know? Nobody saw you.
I saw him screaming. I couldn't hear him, but I saw him. Like a silent movie. Like a ghost almost. Screaming. Flying through the air.
Oh, he flies through the air with no. the
greatest
of ease. He flies through the air on
Shut
his
up! Mind. Shut up!
What's the matter?
Hal, sit down. Hal, sit down.
What's the matter, Mom?
Nothing, Jack. Nothing. Now let's eat.
So we sat down at the table. Nobody spoke. Nobody looked at anybody else.
Was this how it was going to be for the rest of my life? Was this to be my life with my family? Suppose I never was caught. Suppose they never found me. Was this the way it was going to be? This dreadful silence? This silent accusation?
Dad?
Yes?
I'm sorry.
Why?
If the singing upset you, I...
Oh, never mind. Forget it. I've had enough. I'm going upstairs.
Dad?
What do you want?
Well, here's your change.
What change?
From the paper, the $5.
Oh, keep it. I don't need it.
I don't want it.
I gave it to you. Keep it.
I don't want it.
Why?
I just don't want it.
All right. Leave it on the table.
Hal.
I'm going upstairs.
What about your paper?
Well, what about it?
Aren't you going to read it?
No, I don't feel like it.
There may be something in it.
What?
Something you might want to see about this afternoon.
Jackie, where'd you put that paper?
In the living room.
Jackie, how'd you like to help me with the dishes?
Oh, sure, Mom. Mom?
Yes, dear.
I didn't do anything wrong, did I?
Oh, of course not, darling. Daddy was upset, that's all.
Oh, he's so funny today. What's wrong?
Nothing, nothing, dear. Now, come on, help me with the dishes.
I sat down and searched through the newspaper. Each time I turned a page, I had to force my eyes to look at it. I knew what I was looking for. A notice telling of a small boy killed by a hit-and-run driver. I didn't want to find it. I prayed for it not to be there, but I couldn't stop looking for it. I had to know. One way or the other, I had to know. But I didn't find it. Perhaps it was too soon. Perhaps in tomorrow's papers.
Did you find anything?
No.
Let's try the radio. What time is it?
It's almost 7.
We'll get the news.
Where's Jackie?
Drying the dishes, dear.
Bringing you a resume of the day's news. But before the news, a word from our sponsor. Mothers, have you a growing boy in your house? Are you concerned for his health and well-being? Of course you are. You want that growing body to be strong and healthy, don't you? Sound of limb and wind. Of course you do. Now, you can keep your boy's eyes bright and sparkling. Ensure his thrilling dreams for the future this simple, easy way. And remember, there's no fussing or long preparation involved when you serve the new breakfast
off.
Cereal that's sweeping
only
the country.
Be a minute.
Turn it off!
Ready to eat.
I'm going crazy. Everybody, everything seems to be mocking me. I'm going mad.
Oh, why don't you get some rest, dear? Why don't you go upstairs like you wanted to?
Oh, yes, I'm going. I'm going upstairs. I lay on the bed. I don't think I took off my clothes. I lay there. And then it came, the dream. Over and over again, the same dream. Like a foolish projector showing the same picture again and again. The rush of the car, the boy running into the road, the car hitting him, the body flying through the air. The boy running into the road, the car hitting him, the body flying through the air, over and over and over. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Go away. It wasn't my fault. Go away, I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, go away. And then it reached out to me. Hands. I felt hands on my throat. Grabbing me. Hands. I felt them. Stop! Stop! Stop it!
Hal, it's me. It's me. It's Ellen, Hal. Hal, wake up.
What is it? What's the matter?
Oh, you were having a dream.
Oh, yes.
I tried to take off your shirt and tie, dear, to make you comfortable.
Yes.
Here. Now, sit up. Let me help you.
I'll manage.
I brought you a pill. It may help. Here, drink it down.
Yeah. How long have I been here?
A couple of hours. I heard you crying in your sleep. The pill should make it easier for you.
Yeah, easier.
It didn't. It didn't seem to help at all. Every time I closed my eyes, the dream came. I couldn't get rid of it, no matter how I tried. It was as if it was turned on in my brain forever and ever. I didn't dare close my eyes. It was so quiet.
Alan!
The phone.
Who would...
Shall I answer it?
Answer it.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Lawrence there?
It's for you, Hal.
All right.
Just a minute.
Sure thing.
Yes?
Mr. Lawrence?
Speaking.
Didn't disturb you, did I?
No. It's all right. What is it?
This is Tony.
Tony?
Yeah, Tony from the garage.
Garage?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, Tony.
Look, Mr. Lawrence, I'm ready to close the garage. I'd like to know if you're coming in with your car.
Car?
Yeah, remember you told me you wanted to get those pistons done over? Remember when you took it out, you said to bring it back tonight?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How about it?
Oh, sure. Only, Tony, would you come over and get it? It's in front of the house.
Sure.
He's inside. I forgot all about it. I'm in bed, or else I'd bring it in myself.
Okay, I'll look after it. Sorry for disturbing you.
Oh, that's all right.
The garage?
He wants the car. I told him I wanted it fixed. Oh, every time the phone rings, every time I close my eyes, how can I keep on like this, Ellen? I wish I could sleep.
Sleep. Back to the terrifying thoughts in the darkness. Thinking, sweating, crying, being afraid. And then they came.
Al.
They found me.
I'll tell them you're not home.
No. I'll go. I think I was happy to hear that doorbell ring. Happy that someone had at last come to make a decision for me. I walked downstairs and opened the door.
Hi, Mr. Lawrence.
Tony!
Yeah, Tony again from the garage. I just phoned from the corner. I didn't want to disturb you.
What is it?
Look, Mr. Lawrence, I know it ain't none of my business, but did you have some trouble with that car?
Trouble?
Yeah, you got an awful dent in that right fender.
Dent?
Yeah. And there's lots of blood on it if you care to look for it.
Blood?
Yeah. Tell you why I rang your bell, Mr. Lawrence. Maybe you'd like to get it fixed up while it's in the garage, huh? Couple of days, nobody know the difference.
Is there much blood on it, Tony?
Well, you know how it is. A bit here, a bit there. Want me to fix it?
Yeah. Tony, I'd like you to keep this. Well, we'll not mention it. Hmm?
Okay, Mr.
I'll be glad to make it worth your while.
Oh, you don't have to do that, Mr. Lawrence.
But I want it, Tony. I'll be glad to. I haven't any money right now, but I'll bring it to you. Say, a couple of hundred?
Honest, Mr. Lawrence, you don't need to do that.
Oh, please, Tony, don't say anything, will you?
Sure, Mr. Lawrence. Don't worry.
Tony, I'm kind of upset tonight. Supposing I bring the car in some other time.
Okay, Mr. Lawrence. Okay, you're the boss.
How long could this go on? Blood, he said. Oh, dear God. I went upstairs. Ellen.
Yes, I heard.
I can't stand it. It's like a poison. Everywhere you turn, there it is following you. Everything reminds you. I can't stand it any longer. Ellen, would you get dressed?
What are you going to do?
I'm going back. I want you to drive me back.
No.
I thought you wanted
to
help.
They'll put you in jail.
I don't care.
Well, what'll happen to us, to me and Jackie?
I don't know.
Maybe they won't find you, Hal. Maybe nobody saw you.
The garage man knows.
Well, you can take care of him.
I'll go mad living with it. Every time I look at Jackie, I'll think of that boy. Every time I read of an accident. Every time I see a funeral. Why did it happen? Why wasn't I careful? Why didn't I stop to help him?
We could go away.
We'll never stop running once we start.
But it'll be in all the papers, darling. Everybody will know it. It'll ruin.
I don't care. Let them know.
I'll wait until the morning. You'll see a lawyer.
That boy was alive. A few hours ago, he was alive.
It wasn't your fault.
It was my fault. I was driving too fast. I wasn't careful. I didn't stop. He's dead.
But what good can you do now?
I don't know. How can I explain it to you? How can I show you what it feels like inside? What it does to you? What it makes you see? I can't run away from it. I can't leave it behind me. Take me back. Help me, Ellen. Help me.
A few days, Hal. Wait a few days. Things will change. You'll feel differently then. Please, Hal. A few days.
All right.
Go to sleep, Hal. Try and rest. Is it 7:30 already?
Yes.
Oh, Hal, you haven't slept at all.
No.
Oh,
not a wink. Not all night.
Hal, what are we going to do?
Why should this happen to us, Ellen? We're just ordinary people. We're good people. We pay our rent and our taxes. We're good citizens. We've always minded our own business. Then this comes along. Why, Ellen, why? Suddenly everything's finished. It's over and ended.
Hal, darling, please.
Oh, they'll have found him now.
But maybe he'll...
Ellen, what's the use? We've got to decide. It's one thing or the other. We either keep quiet and lie as we've never lied before, or we face it. Which is it, Ellen? Which is it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Ellen, don't go.
Hal.
No, not yet, please. Ellen, maybe we can still figure something out. Please let them ring. They'll think we're out. Shh. Now, listen. Can you see them from the window?
I can't see the door. I'll see them leave.
Is there a car or anything?
Oh, it's the milkman.
Ellen, I can't stand it.
I know.
I've got to do it.
I know, dear.
I love you, Ellen. You will stick, won't you?
Always, darling.
I'm so frightened, I'm almost sick.
I'll help you, dear.
Operator, get me the police department, please.
That was Hit and Run by Max Shoub, Attraction 6 on Radio City Playhouse. Our thanks to Casey Allen for his fine performance as Hal Lawrence and to Fran Carlin for her sympathetic support as Ellen. Since in real life Mr. Allen and Miss Carlin are Mr. and Mrs. Allen, our credits tonight are in the nature of a family affair. Other players included Lon Clark and Donald Hastings. Our play was directed by Harry W. Duncan, and the music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonough. Next week, Radio City Playhouse will introduce you to Fanny. Fanny is very old, very rich, very bored, and we think very, very funny. It is only when she adopts a piano tuner that things begin to happen. The script is by our director, Harry W. Duncan, and stars are brilliant young comedian Grace Keddy. Be with us next week, won't you, for Fanny, Attraction 7, Radio City Playhouse.
Matinee Theater, starring Victor Jory. The makers of Vicks VapoRub, Vicks Vatrinol, Vicks Cough Drops, and Vicks Inhaler present the Matinee Theater, starring Victor Jory in The Scarlet Pimpernel. First, here's a good thing to remember when you catch a cold. The best known home remedy for relieving miseries of colds is Vicks VapoRub.
The Scarlet Pimpernel is one of the most dashing figures of legend. He was a man of 100 disguises who lived in almost continual masquerade. He had one great aim in life, to rescue the persecuted in France from the guillotine of the French Revolution. In England, only the few members of his own band knew that that great fool, that fop, that overdressed wealthy dandy, Sir Percy Blakeney, was the Fabulous Pimpernel. Our story starts in England on Sir Percy's wedding day, the day when he claimed the great French beauty, Marguerite Saint-Just, as his bride.
Good luck and good fortune!
Much happiness to you both!
Good luck, good fortune, happiness. Oh, what lovely things to wish.
Are you happy?
Very, very happy. I shudder to think how grand my life would have remained had you not walked into the Comédie Française that night.
I asked you to marry me that first night. I meant to. But I asked you so many times, I've quite forgotten.
Oh, no, no, you asked me the second night. The first night you said, you are the greatest actress in the world and the most beautiful, and I love you. But you did not speak of marriage.
But the second night and the third and every night thereafter.
Oh, you must have known all along I would marry you. I was too much in love to hide it.
You're so beautiful, Marguerite.
You know, my darling, you are quite a puzzle to me.
Yes? How do you mean?
Sometimes you seem to me like two different men. When we are in public, you act so differently than when we are alone.
Most husbands do. Which way do you prefer me?
As you are now. Oh, Percy, this estate of yours is so beautiful. It reminds me of some of the old places in France before the populace destroyed things.
Careful. It was public knowledge that your sympathies were with that populace, Marguerite.
No, no. My sympathies were with the revolutionary ideals, yes. I believe in liberty and equality and fraternity. But my sympathies are not with those who murder.
Yes? Big pardon, Sir Percy, but Sir Andrew Ffoulkes is in the library. He regrets to disturb you, but he says it is of the utmost importance that he speak with you a moment.
Very well, Bentley. Will you excuse me, my dear?
Oh, Percy, please do not be long.
I'll try not to be.
Andrew, what you're saying is incredible.
I know how you feel, but for your own sake, you must not dismiss it too lightly. What I have told you is true. Your wife was responsible for sending the Marquis de Saint-Cyr and all his family to the guillotine. There are 100 people to testify to the fact that she gave their names to the tribunal.
I know you would not bring me the story if you were not positive of its truth. And yet, I cannot believe my instincts would play me so false. And I will believe in her unless she tells me herself that this is true.
There is something else. We have just received word that the Comtesse de Tournay and her two children have been sentenced to die on Thursday.
Thursday. My old friends, Thursday. We must be ready to leave for Dover within the hour. But first, I must have a word with my wife.
No, no, all I want to know, Marguerite, is did you send the Marquis and his family to the guillotine?
Yes, Percy, I did. But let me explain.
There can be no explanation for such a deed. I'm afraid I shall have to leave you for a time. I have an errand that will take me away for a week or so, and so, good day, milady.
Percy, where are you going?
That, madam, is my secret.
Whoa, whoa! Monsieur Bibo, have you caught the Pimpernel yet?
No, but I will, old woman. I am the shrewdest gatekeeper in all Paris. If I had been on the north gate of Paris last week instead of this one, the Pimpernel would be in jail right now.
Oh, would he now?
That fool Gropierre was at the north gate last Monday, when along comes a market cart laden with casks and driven by an old man with a boy beside him. Poor Pierre looked in a few of the casks and let the cart go through.
Of course, of course. Pimpernel was the driver. Any fool should have known that.
Not half an hour later, up comes the captain of the guard with a squad of some dozen soldiers with him. Has the cart gone through, he asks. Yes, says Gopier, not half an hour ago. You let them escape, shouts the captain. You'll go to the guillotine for this. Hidden in that cart were the Duc de Chalet and all his family. And the driver was none other than that cursed Englishman, the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Oh, what a fool.
But you have not heard all of it. The captain rushes through the gate, followed by his dozen soldiers.
And of course it was too late. Oh, the fools. They should have examined the casks properly.
No, old woman. Those aristocrats weren't in the cart. The driver was not the Scarlet Pimpernel. In fact, there was nothing wrong with the people in the cart. Oh, no. But the captain of the guard was the Pimpernel, and every one of his soldiers were the aristocrats we were looking for. One thing I will tell you, the Scarlet Pimpernel will never pass through my gate.
You're a smart man, Bebo. A smart, smart man.
You're right, old woman. Say, what have you got there behind you in that covered cart?
My grandson. He's sleeping back there. Take a look, if you like. He has the smallpox.
The smallpox? Curse you, you old fool. You want to infect all of us? Take your cart and get it out of here. Get it out of here.
All right, Citizen Bebo. May the devil take your soul.
Bebo, 1,000 Bebo, have you seen a cart?
I have seen 100 carts, Captain. Oh, Citizen Chauvelin. My gate is greatly honored by your presence.
Have you permitted the car to pass, driven by an old hag who said her son had the plague?
Yes, a horrible old woman.
Oh, you stupid fool, you idiot! That car contained the Comtesse de Tournay and her 2 children, all of them traitors and condemned to death. And the driver, your so-called old woman, was the Scarlet Pimpernel himself.
Oh, Percy, my dear, I am so glad you are home. I have been so worried.
Such a show of enthusiasm, my dear, is quite uncalled for. I've only been gone a week or two.
You have been gone almost 3?
Well, has it really been that long?
Tell me about your trip. Was it pleasant? Was it difficult? Where did you go?
My dear, I can't quite see that that's any of your business.
I see. Is that the way it is going to be, Percy?
Yes, my dear. That's exactly the way it's going to be. Now, you better go and get some finery on. We're attending a concert tonight and a ball afterwards. Both of them will be complete bores. But, of course, one must be seen at the right places.
I think I almost hate you.
And one of these days you'll have no doubt of it. Hurry, please. I do despise being late. You'll excuse me if I leave you alone in the box for a moment, Marguerite. This concert is beastly dull. I'll be back before it's over and escort you to the ball.
Yes, of course, Percy. Well, you did not stay long, Percy.
May I take your husband's chair a moment, Lady Marguerite?
Chauvelin. What are you doing in England? Why have you left Paris?
I am here as a representative of the new government, and I am also here to seek an enemy of France. I must speak quickly. Your husband may return. I want you to help me to find this Scarlet Pimpernel.
The Pimpernel? But I know nothing of the Pimpernel. And if I did, I would not tell you.
Lady Marguerite, I have in my possession a letter that definitely proves that your brother, Armand Saint-Just, is a member of the Scarlet Pimpernel's band. He is in France now. One word from me, and he dies on the guillotine. I am willing to trade his life for the Pimpernel's.
My brother is a member of the Pimpernel's band?
Yes, yes. So I think you will do as I ask. I give you my word that as soon as I know the identity of the Scarlet Pimpernel, you shall have the incriminating letters. You see, we captured certain papers, and we learned from them that he's to leave for France tomorrow, that he's to be at the ball tonight, and also that Sir Andrew Ffoulkes is a member of his band. Last week, he rescued the Countess de Tournay and her two children, but he had to leave Count Tournay behind, and he has sworn to rescue him. That's why the Pimpernel is going to France tomorrow, so he must talk to Sir Andrew tonight. If you keep your wits about you and watch Sir Andrew closely, you may save your brother's life. Well, what do you say?
My brother is very dear to me. You leave me no choice.
Your mind is not on your dancing tonight, my dear. Perhaps you're bored.
Percy, I feel a little faint. Would you get me some water? I will sit in the reception room a moment.
Of course, my dear.
Why, Sir Andrew, what are you doing alone in the reception room? Surely you do not lack for a partner.
No, I was just a little bit tired.
Oh, how deceiving you are. You stole in here to read a love note. Mm-hmm. See? There it is on the floor. You dropped it as I came in. I have it now. Now, what does this small scrap of paper say?
I must ask you to return that piece of paper, Lady Marguerite. It was something I wished destroyed.
Oh. Well, then, we will destroy it. Here, I will hold it to the flame for you.
Oh.
There. Do you feel better now, Sir Andrew?
Immeasurably.
And so do I. So, perhaps you will invite me to dance?
Oh, with pleasure.
Part of the paper was destroyed, Chauvelin. But when I held it to the candle flame, I read the words, "Start myself tomorrow." And also, "If you wish to speak to me again, I shall be in the supper room at 1 o'clock precisely." And it was signed with the crest of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Mm-hmm. You've done well. It is almost 1. I will go to the supper room at once.
I have been looking everywhere for you. I am so weary, I would like to go home.
I'm sorry, my dear. I fell asleep in the supper room.
Asleep? In the supper room? Was anyone else there?
No one but that Frenchman, Chauvelin. He was asleep, too. I got so deucedly tired dancing that was the only quiet place I could find. Well? Well, why are you staring at me like that? You're looking at me as though you'd never seen me before.
In just a moment, we will bring you Act Two of The Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Victor Jory, from the stage of Vic's Matinee Theater. These days, when children catch cold, most mothers believe in quick action. And the modern way they use to relieve distress of children's colds is to rub on Vic's Vapor Rub. You see, the moment you rub on Vapor Rub, its famous relief-giving action starts right to work. It helps relieve congestion and irritation in the upper breathing passages, the coughing spasms, sore throat, and that muscular soreness or tightness. You see, Vapor Rub is so good because it penetrates. Penetrates into the cold, congested upper bronchial tubes with its special soothing medicinal vapors. And at the same time, it stimulates. Stimulates chest and back surfaces like a comforting, warming poultice. And most important of all, this penetrating, stimulating action of Vapor Rub keeps on working for hours to bring welcome relief. So, mother, do this without delay when your child comes down with a cold. Use the modern way most mothers use. Rub on Vapor Rub, for only Vapor Rub gives you this special penetrating, stimulating action. Remember, it's the best-known home remedy for relieving miseries of colds. Vicks Vapor Rub.
And now the second act of The Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Victor Jory. As the curtain rises, Marguerite and Percy have just arrived home. As they walk through the gardens toward the house, Marguerite hesitates, then turns to her husband.
Percy?
Yes, my dear.
Please, do not go in for a moment. There is something I would like to talk to you about.
Yes? What is it?
It is very hard to tell you. It is very hard to tell you anything, Percy. You are so far away from me.
What did you wish to say to me, Marguerite?
It is Armand, my brother. He is in great danger. Monsieur Chauvelin told me that he was a member of the Scarlet Pimpernel's band. And Chauvelin said that if I did not help him find the Pimpernel, Armand would be executed in France.
Armand will be taken care of. So do not worry. Do not concern yourself any further.
Do you think you can do something about it, Percy?
I think I can.
Oh, you are looking at me as though you despised me.
Perhaps I do.
Then why did you marry me?
Because I thought I was marrying a vastly different woman. I thought I was marrying a woman of spirit and courage and honor. And instead I found I'd married a woman who was responsible for the death of a family I had known and loved. You can hardly expect me to care much for you, my dear, after that.
Percy, even up to the very morning Saint-Cyr went to prison, I tried desperately to save him. I would have told you the whole thing was a horrible, incredible accident if you would have listened.
Many people have told me that you always despised the Marquis and made no secret of it.
Yes, I despised him, but I would not kill him. Do you know what he did? He had Armand, my brother, thrashed by his lackeys. And do you know why? Because Armand was not of the aristocracy and had dared to love his daughter. Percy, he was not a good man. He plotted with Austria against his own country. When that knowledge came to me, I took it to headquarters. I thought it was my duty to France. I still think it was. But I did not know his enemies would use that as an excuse to assassinate him and his whole family.
It's a very pretty story, but you can hardly expect me to believe it.
No. No, I do not expect you to believe it. You have made up your mind to believe the worst of me, and you will. Well, I guess that doesn't matter very much anymore. You can only be hurt so much, Percy. After a while, pain stops having any meaning.
It's a great pity, madame, that you don't know the identity of the Pimpernel. I can assure you, you can sell the information far more dearly than the price that has been offered you.
But, Percy, I do know the identity of the Scarlet Pimpernel. I learned it tonight. And I did not sell the information, even for my brother's life. And do you know why, my dear? Because I love you, no matter what you think of me. Good night, Percy.
Good night, Marguerite.
Lady Marguerite. Lady Marguerite.
Yes, Bentley. What time is it?
It's morning, milady. And a package just came for you.
A package? From whom?
It's from Monsieur Chauvelin. The messenger said to tell you that it was in payment for services rendered, that your information last night had at last unmasked the man he was seeking.
Bentley, where is Lord Percy?
Why, he's not here, madam. He left for France before dawn.
Order me a carriage at once, Bentley. Tell the men to hurry, hurry.
Yes, madam.
And Bentley, you must tell me where to find him. Unless I reach him, Chauvelin will capture him the moment he sets foot in France.
I don't know if I dare tell you, madam. I've had explicit orders not to.
Bentley, you must believe me. I betrayed him without meaning to. If I can find him and tell him what happened, it may mean his life. For don't you see? He thinks he is still safe as Lord Percy.
Very well, madam. There's an inn in Calais, the Inn of the Red Feather. That is one of his headquarters. I'll take you there.
Oh, I pray Chauvelin does not get there first. I pray he does not get there first.
Well, Citizen Chauvelin, welcome to the Inn of the Red Feather.
Thank you, Citizen Brogard. Please bring me some dinner at once. I've heard much about your food here.
At once, Citizen Chauvelin.
Edgar, you're sure you found the hut?
I saw the hut with my own eyes. I saw the Comte de Tournay and Armand Saint-Just go in. They are there now, waiting for the Pimpernel.
And are my orders carried out? The roads and the beach are patrolled?
They have not a loophole for which even the most cunning of men could escape. And all our men have been notified to watch for a man over 60 tall.
He could only disguise his height by stooping. He should be here at 9, so be back with your men. I trust he will not recognize me in these priest's robes that I have borrowed. Degas, my friend, this is the end of the Scarlet Pimpernel. Good evening, citizen.
Good evening. Good evening, Sir Percy.
I'm starving to death, Brokaw. Bring me some food, quickly. Quickly.
Oui, milord.
I've never seen our fat host move so fast before.
Why? Odd. See? I vow I never thought of meeting you here. And I didn't know that you were a priest, Monsieur Chauvelin. Oh, my word, old boy, you're choking, aren't you? Here, let me clap you on the back. Oh, I'm sorry if I upset you while you're eating your soup. Oh, here, let me clap you again. You're having a dreadful time with that soup.
Very hot, yes.
You know, Chauvelin, I should have known you anywhere. Although the costume does change you a bit. You keep looking at your watch, sir. You must be in a hurry. Well, don't let me keep you. Well, 9 o'clock.
Yes, 9 o'clock.
And you're consulting your watch again, aren't you? What's the matter? Don't you trust Brogard's clock? Oh, it must be a trick for the lady, Chauvelin. Nothing else could make a man watch the clock so closely. Well, what do you say to that, Monsieur Chauvelin?
Huh? Oh, pardon, monsieur. I'm afraid I was not listening. You were saying...
Nothing very much. Here, have a pinch of snuff, Monsieur Chauvelin.
Why, thank you.
There's nothing quite as satisfying as a good whiff of snuff. Only that, my friend, was not snuff, that was pepper. Sorry to have to leave you now, but I have business elsewhere.
You see him? Did you get him?
Who?
The Pimpernel, that tall man, you stupid oaf. The one who just went through the door.
We saw nothing, Citizen Chauvelin. The moon is not up yet. It is dark.
Well, no matter. You'll probably make for the hut now, and so will we. Go at once and find a cart. Tell your men we're leaving immediately.
Oui.
You clumsy fool that I am to be deceived by a trick like that.
Good evening, Monsieur Chauvelin.
Well, this is a surprise. Lady Marguerite Blakeney.
Yes.
I'm glad you came. You may be very helpful, Lady Marguerite.
Not to you, Monsieur Chauvelin.
I have found the peddler's car, Citizen Chauvelin. And here is the peddler.
Good, good. Can you take us to the hut of Père Blanchard?
How much is there in it for?
Oh, 10 gold pieces?
10 gold? Huh. I'm rich. I'll come at once. Come quickly.
You will accompany us, madame?
I will do no such thing.
If you make it necessary for me to gag and carry you a child. Oh. We will go to Père Blanchard's hut at once.
This hut is empty.
Where are you, men? Where are the Tournay and Saint-Just? Sergeant! Sergeant Giroux!
Degas, you sure Count de Tournay and Saint-Just were here this afternoon?
Very sure.
You want to meet, citizen?
Sergeant Giroux, there were 2 men here. Where are they?
They left about an hour ago, citizen.
You let them go?
Oh, but of course. Our orders were simply to watch and await further commands. We were told to stop no one but the tall Englishman. The men in here were 2 short men, 2 Frenchmen. They went down to the shore and got
they
into a boat.
They went down to the shore and got into a boat. Yes. And you let them, you fool,
well,
you.
You see, Monsieur Chauvelin, you can be outwitted even with your prize within your hands. The prisoners are gone and the Pimpernel is gone.
But you, Lady Blakeney, are here. And perhaps the Pimpernel will venture into France again for you.
With all my heart, I pray that he won't. His life is worth 100 of mine.
If you would excuse me, please. Look what I found.
A piece of paper.
Yes, you know it.
Well, give it to me. Oh, this was written by the Pimpernel. My dear de Tournay, it says, I cannot meet you as planned. There will, however, be a boat waiting on the beach for you at 9 o'clock tonight. When you reach the ship, tell the men to bring the boat back to the Chagrinet for me. I shall try to be there at 10:30, but if I am delayed, tell them to wait. Use the Pimpernel. Well, well, Lady Marguerite, perhaps I'm not lost after all.
Shall I call the men, Citizen Chauvelin?
Yes, call the men at once.
Sergeant, your men.
At once, Citizen.
Shall I drive you, sir?
No, there will be no room in the cart for anyone but ourselves and the soldiers. You and Lady Marguerite will stay here.
Is it safe to leave them?
Well, of course they can't go far without the cart. And if they try, we shall have no difficulty picking them up. Au revoir, madame. Au revoir, peddler.
Ha, 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 ha
Percy, what a wonderful peddler you made. If I had not been so frightened, I would have laughed myself into hysterics.
You mean you knew me all the time?
Of course, I knew you the minute you entered the inn. You see, my darling, I am your wife.
Well, then I may as well get the crook out of my back. Ah, there, it's good to stand up straight. Come on, there's a boat waiting for us on the shore, and when Chauvelin doesn't find me, he's liable to start looking back here for me. Come on. Say, while I think of it, what are you doing here, anyhow?
You were in danger. I wanted to help you if I could.
Yes? I don't even know how to begin to ask you to forgive me.
We both made mistakes. Look, the sun is coming up. Is it not beautiful, Percy?
Yes. It's a new day for all the world, and especially for us. Now I can tell you how much I loved you, even when I wanted to hate you, and how much I will always love you.
Oh, my darling.
My darling. Come, we must start down the cliff, or Chauvelin will put an end to our day very quickly.
Let us go then, Mr. Pimpernel.
I'm afraid the Pimpernel has outlived his usefulness to France.
Oh? There is no use trying to pretend I am sorry. I want you home and safe with me.
Look, there's the boat.
We're ready to shove off, Lord Blakeney.
We're coming, sailor.
I hope you mean it, and that there will be no more Pimpernel.
There won't be, my dear. From now on, the Scarlet Pimpernel will no longer be the name of a man. It will be only the name of a small flower that blooms in the fields of England.
A small flower, but one that will always be a symbol of courage and of victory. Because of you, my darling.
Uh-huh. So speaks my wife.
And so will speak the world.
In just a moment, a word from Mr. Joyce. If you have a cold, probably the one thing you want most right now is relief from the miserable distress of that cold. Well, if you'll take the advice of millions of folks from their own personal experience, you'll rub Vicks VapoRub on your throat, chest, and back at bedtime. And I'll tell you why. VapoRub's relief-giving action starts right to work and keeps on working for hours to bring you such welcome relief. It invites restful sleep. And often, by morning, most of the misery of the cold is gone. Remember, the best-known home remedy for relieving miseries of colds is time-tested, home-proved Vicks VapoRub.
This is Victor Jory. Thank you for your many, many kind letters and suggestions. Now, here is something I especially want to find out. Many of my friends have asked me to present The Highwayman again. The Highwayman was, we are proud to say, one of our finest productions. Would you like to hear it again? Or just what plays or motion pictures would you like to hear? This is your theater, and we at all times want to comply with your requests. Suppose we let you decide about next week's play. Write me care of Vicks Matinee Theater, Columbia Broadcasting, 22, New York.
Victor Jory is currently co-starring with Miriam Hopkins in The Perfect Marriage. Our play today was adapted by Gene Holloway from Baroness Orczy's novel, The Scarlet Pimpernel, and was directed by Richard Sandville. The role of Marguerite was played by Gertrude Warner. Music for our series is under the direction of Mark Warnow. Be sure and listen again next week when Vicks Matinee Theater presents your request play starring Victor Jory. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. If you want to hear more from the shows you heard from today, just search for them on the website. You'll also find more podcasts there, past episodes of this show, and everything else Relic Radio, our forum, Shoutcast stream, etc. There's also a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk again soon with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.